stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Well, the other day I read a piece about a new book and the story of a life that I thought was frankly rather fascinating, the life of Louis the Coin, who was also known as Louis Colavecchio. And joining us now to talk about his life and just how he chose to spend it and what an interesting story it was is Andy Thibault, who is a veteran newspaper editor. He has an award-winning collection of newspaper columns, and he is the city editor of the daily newspaper in Waterbury, Connecticut, the Republican American. And also joining us now is Jerry Longo, who is the supervisory senior investigator for the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Commission, where he was recently promoted and now includes the oversight of security department investigations. So, Mr. Longo, Mr. Thibault, hello, Andy and Jerry. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. How are you both, gentlemen? Hello.
I'm fine. Good morning.
Thanks for having us on. It's a pleasure. So, Andy, let me begin with you. You have taken a real interest in the life of Louis the Coin. You began writing about him a long time ago, and then the story took off on its own wings. Can you talk to us a little bit about what grabbed you about the story of this gentleman?
Well, I guess you could say Louis grabbed me with his charismatic personality. He's just a funny and entertaining guy, and I miss him a lot.
And what did he do? What did he do for a living? What came to be so interesting to write about him?
Well, he went to Providence College, where he earned a degree in business administration. But prior to that, he told me he worked a lot of odd jobs at a place called the Providence Office, which was run by Raymond Patriarca, one of the most powerful mob bosses in U.S. history. And Louis would sell counterfeit goods, but he was a master technician. He would make everything from printing presses to orthotics for your shoes and jewelry.
Why do you think he chose to take this brilliant craftsmanship? What was it about counterfeiting money and ultimately slot machine coins that so motivated him? Because he ended up in jail for doing this, and yet he didn't stop.
Well, given the amount of crimes he committed, he only served a small amount of time, and he calculated it was worth it. But as a young person, he did these odd jobs. And I think he got a big thrill out of it, and he took pride in his work. You know, after he was out of his first jail sentence, he was hired by the U.S. Mint as a consultant because the dies in his casino tokens were better quality than the dies in U.S. currency.
That's like the Catch Me If You Can story, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? That's what it reminded me of when I saw it, of the guy who was so good at it, the feds had to hire him so they could catch other bad guys. Now, you say you miss him, Louis Colavecchio. What kind of a human being was he?
Well, I'm not saying he was the greatest human being in the world, but I got to know a lot of his good parts. And like everybody else, there's good and bad inside of us. A scammer, a fraudster, a great storyteller, and just a compelling personality, a compelling persona. I mean, Jerry met him long before I did, and I learned about Louis' exploits initially through Jerry.
So, Jerry Longo, you're the supervisory senior investigator for the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Commission, but before that, you've had quite a long and illustrious career in law enforcement.
Yeah. Yeah, too long.
too long.
Yeah.
So you first started as a police officer in Glastonbury?
Yes. Local town. And then I moved up to the state police. And then I finished my law enforcement career.
Yeah, and then you became an expertise in the field of casino gaming. So tell us a little bit, what are some of the kind of crimes that you generally would investigate?
Well, we started a bit when Foxwoods Casino first opened and followed by the Mohegan Sun. The state police were the law enforcement investigators on the properties, on the reservations. So we basically started out in approximately 1991, knowing absolutely nothing. Most of us were selected for being detectives and being good investigators, but we didn't know a lot about the casino thing. So we learned it from the ground up. And in the old days, when the slot machines would spit out those coins, they don't do that anymore. It's all ticket in and ticket out stuff. It was all paper now. But guys would literally make them out of lead. They would make lead slugs. Those were cases that we were doing. They were able to stick wires inside machine and small lights to manipulate the machinery. And the machinery grew and became more technologically advanced, and those crimes kind of went away, the kind of stuff that Louis was doing. So that's a dead art, what Louis Colavecchio was doing. But I got to know him in a little different way than Andy did. I arrested him.
You arrested him. But yes. You liked him. It sounds like you liked him.
I did like him. Well, yeah, we became friends. He sent me a Christmas card one year from prison, so I sent him one back, and he kind of told me, intimated that he liked the way I arrested him, I guess. I was a gentleman, and some of the people who had handled him before maybe have mishandled him in some way, or he didn't like the way that they arrested him, and I invited him to come in and turn himself in on an arrest warrant when I finished my part of the case, and I had donuts and coffee waiting for him and his lawyer, and we just talked, and I fingerprinted him while we were chatting, and then I sent him on his way. So he thought that was pretty good. So he got a hold of me through the department. He sent a Christmas card to the department. They got it to me, and I responded, and we became friends. And then, you know, it was a long road to getting involved with Andy and writing I wrote an article on Louis the Coin, and Andy published it within one of his books, or one of the really good books, the Law Tribune book, I think it was. And I just gave it to him. It was a great story. I wanted to get out there, just a little short story. And then they ended up turning it into a book. But we met several times going to colleges and doing speeches, and we'd go out for drinks. And I'd call him frequently on the phone. He would call me frequently on the phone. We'd talk just about what he was up to. And he would never give me the whole story, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was like me, he grew up as a young Italian man in a special neighborhood, like I did. And we only had three choices back then, and that was break the law, enforce the law, or become a priest. So he picked one, and I picked one.
That's really funny. Break the law. I never heard of it that way. Break the law, enforce the law, or become a priest. We're chatting with Jerry Longo. What area did you grow up in? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in East Hartford, Connecticut, which was a very blue-collar, you know, Pratt & Whitney was there. If you didn't work at Pratt & Whitney, then you sold, you know, insurance policies to protect your business, or you did numbers or something like that. So there was a lot of organized crime in East Hartford back in the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s.
Wow. We're chatting with Supervisory Senior Investigator of the Mohegan Tribal Gaming Commission, Jerry Longo. Now, you're still doing that. You're still in that role. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm calling from work right now.
And so just give us an idea. What are the kinds of items that come to your desk?
Well, my office where I work is under the direction of a couple of there's a director and two assistant directors of the Gaming Commission, and we fall under that as investigators. And we do everything from vetting vendors, of which there are multiple thousands of vendors, to make sure that there's no influence peddling, there's no criminal activity in any of the members that we're doing business with. We do our employee backgrounds and vet them. We do employee thefts, if there are any. And unfortunately, with any place that has, you know, a lot of people, sometimes somebody will pick something up that doesn't belong to them and walk away with it, and the customers will attempt to steal pocketbooks or something. There's some pocketbook theft, or there's very, very little crime on a casino. If you look at the amount of people that flow through here on any given week, This place is like a city, actually. It's got a hotel, it's got parking, it's got restaurants and bars and gambling and all that stuff, and it's like a small city every day, and the percentage of crime is very low, but we'll get involved in that stuff. And there is currently a Mohegan Tribal Police Department, which is now the police department of record for this place. The state police are no longer involved here, so they investigate any actual crimes that occur.
I see. Any kind of like street crime or something like that,
yep.
They investigate?
No, anything, any assault, anything like that that's an actual violation of criminal law, they investigate it.
Interesting.
Lisa, if I could mention Jerry and our co-author Franz Dusky, a poet and professor at Gateway in New Haven, will be appearing via Zoom at the Morris Public Library this October. And you can register for that event via the Morris Public Library.
Where do you think, I'll let either one of you take this, but where do you think Louis Calavecchio developed this extraordinary talent and skill as an artist to be able to create these coins that were minted better than the U.S. Mint was doing it? How did he know how to do that? How did he do that?
I believe he was self-taught, and he went as far as buying a printing press from Italy, putting in his garage in Providence, and hiring tool and die makers. And he was a perfectionist. He had a lot of machines that were seized by law enforcement. We have pictures of him, and Jerry has a lot of elements of Louis' work at the Connecticut State Police Museum in Meriden.
I didn't even know there was such a place, Jerry.
Yes, I'm the chairman. I don't have enough to do, Lisa.
I was going to say, that's exactly what I was thinking. So there's a museum where you can see artifacts of some of the more interesting cases, huh, and crimes.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the wood chipper murder, we have, one of my highlight items that I've got is I have an autograph from Amelia Earhart. She got stopped for speeding many, many decades ago, and she autographed a dollar bill for the trooper as a souvenir for him. I got that. We got a lot of things like that. It's interesting.
I feel like I could talk to you for a long time, but this being radio, I have to move on. Jerry Longo and Andy Thibault, I want to thank both of you for coming, giving us a little bit of insight into the life of Louis the Coin. And perhaps I'll have you gentlemen on for other things. Jerry, I feel like there's so many places we could go in this conversation right now. Actually, joining us in just a moment is State Senator George Logan, who has been speaking out pretty strongly about why he thinks the new police accountability reform bill should not have passed. So we're going to talk with him about that. Maybe you want to stay tuned to listen to what he has to say, but I have a feeling that in particular, Jerry, is there anything you want to comment about that bill before we move on?
Nope, I'm going to lunch.
You're going to lunch. See, this is a guy who understands tact and diplomacy. All right, we'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on. Much
Thank
appreciated
you, Lisa.
Today.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back.